Blog Talk Radio.
Across the bay from Oakland, Barack Obama was holding a fundraiser at, you know, 38K or 35K or whatever K, how many thousands per plate. And as he was doing that, as he was holding that fundraiser across the bay from Oakland, occupiers, give me a second. I hadn't seen this news until I was getting ready to come on. Occupiers in Oakland were bedding down, and then some hours later, a couple hours later, 200 Oakland police raided the Occupy Oakland demonstrators, and they began to shoot rubber bullets, and they threw in flash bombs or little flash grenades to disperse the Occupy camp. Now, rubber bullets have killed, well, Palestinian children, many, by the many. They're the preferred weapon of the peaceful Israeli soldiers walking the strip of Gaza, occupying there instead of letting the original occupants live there. But just across the bay, the president was raising money to lie to us, to lie to us about what he'll do as president right across the bay. And then the cops went in and they shot these bullets. And now an Iraqi vet, a young man, 24, named Scott Olson, remains in on a respirator in critical condition. This is all while President Obama is across the bay raising money and lying to us about what he'll do. So when I open with Ohio, I mean it, I really mean it. Oh, so drag me out of this, because I didn't realize that a vet got shot in the face and was in the hospital critical.
Yeah, you know, a lot of stuff. Can you hear me okay, Gwen?
I can hear you, yeah.
I was just going to say, you know, I saw some vets there, too. Like there's the guy who was hit in the face there that I read. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't there. You know, rather, I've seen in the news there was a guy in his full naval uniform. But I tell you, what's most frustrating is seeing the spin being put in the media. The media kind of egged them on. We had a couple of the local talking heads came out, and they had some bubblehead bleach blonde types, you know. A nice-looking young man, nice-looking young woman, and they followed the protesters around. They didn't look for people like spokesman typed. They were looking for sound bites. So they were looking for people, street people. And that's what they found. You know, and they went there up to him and say, "Sir, why are you here? Sir, ma'am, what are your demands?" And they're street people. And a lot of them reacted badly. Apparently, somebody called Amy Holyfield of ABC a white bitch. And then apparently, one young man with a dog, as the reporter followed him around, his dog bit the guy's sleeve. Because they showed that on TV, there was a big snag on his suit coat, and they both called the police and reported assaults. And you know, at the end of the ABC News program, the anchor woman inside said, "Well, apparently they want free speech for themselves, but they don't want the rest of us to have free speech." You know, in other words, it was one of many things. That's one of the things which cast the protesters in a bad light. That's the way the mainstream media was. You know, I mean, Obama being across the bay there raising money, and his hired the slaves of the 1%, the Oakland PD, were there doing his bidding rather than supporting the people. There's people out there who are doing stuff to help them too. I mean, they had 80 cops laid off last year. Because they didn't want to cut their pension benefits. So,
right.
You know, those kids are fighting for them. But you wouldn't know it by their reaction. You know, you have the ABC News and the CBS News helicopters there, and the police asked them to, the police announced, you have 5 minutes to disperse or we'll use chemical agents. And both helicopters suddenly had to refuel. So, you know, they're gone. And that's when the police attacked. And again, I want to stress, I wasn't there. I spent a lot of time with those kids the last couple of weeks, just as a visitor, you know, going there, dropping off food, hanging around, talking to people, listening to lectures and music, and you kind of get a feel of what's going on there, kind of like if you had a neighborhood coffee shop.
Right.
You know, so we have the mayor there talking about the dirt and the violence and how unclean it was. And, you know, they set up a separate camp there about four blocks away for women and kids and to get them out of the way. Because there are street people around there. There's homeless around there, too. You know, it's Oakland. But
one of the issues, though.
I would see these people around there with those long tongs picking up trash. It wasn't messy at all. It wasn't dirty at all. And you kind of get a feel for things. If there was some threat at night, bad things happening, that would have been kind of the talk, because I would sit there in the amphitheater and I'd see these young people there. They'd maybe do their trash duty, or they'd be off to do something, or they'd just be talking. And, you know, you'd hear them, and there was no sense of violence or danger there. There was an apprehension of the police, but that's
yeah.
natural.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was just depressed about what they did to them, and you know, I'd been there taking pictures of it of their encampment, and then seeing that afterwards, not only how it was wrecked, but seeing the photos of the cops going through there as they ransacked, and they were doing it like thugs. It wasn't like someone there to do a job. You know, I don't say we don't need police, but I'm saying this reaction, they were thugs. They were thugs, they were out of control, and, you know, they were just itching to get at them, and this was their excuse, and they kind of got the media out of the way.
No, you're not rambling. You're telling the way you've seen it happen, and being there, being in the area. Orlando, they did the same thing. In Boston, we all saw it on the live feed, how the there was a World War II vet there that they gave it to. And the people from Boston said, you know, it was supervisors, it wasn't the cops. And a lot of New Yorkers are saying it's the white shirts, it's not really the constabulary. But, you know, mm-hmm. you see something like this and you say, yes, it is, it's the cops. They have responsibility for their actions, no matter who tells them to do what. They're doing it.
Exactly.
And
they went along, and maybe some don't all participate. Maybe some don't all enjoy it. But I kind of look back in what happened to Rodney King in L.A. There was, I don't know how many cops there were there. Many of them were beating and kicking him. Some stood back. You know, they stood back, whether they stood back because they didn't want to participate or whether they maybe they didn't approve. But the thing is, none of them stepped forward, none of them tried to stop it, and none of them reported the incident. So they're all complicit. You know, maybe some were not as vicious as others, but they're all complicit. And to me, it's the same as the Oakland PD. I mean, I would have loved to see a cop saying, I'm not doing it. You know, saying, hey, I'm going to turn in my badge. I'm not going to beat unarmed demonstrators. But there's none of that.
And that's the goal, to see that happen. I had no idea until I was getting ready for the show that there was, I had heard something about a vet. I had no idea he was on a respirator and in critical guarded condition. And that is, you know, we lose more vets here to suicide. More vets die in America than they do overseas anymore. I don't know what kind of a karmic atrocity that is, but I know it's one. And to have one go down like that after all that you just said about the bad press that was contrived in your local media there, which has probably made it out to the rest, and then on top of it, I've got to take hold of myself here because I am so angry at the president at this moment to be right across the bay raising money for, you know, lots of money to put out pretty pictures and pretty lies to become the president again because he's the only one with a set of common sense to lie about things instead of the Republicans who are just obvious buffoons.
When I look at, like, he seems to have, I'm talking about Obama, he tends to have, he'll frame something as being for the people, and then he gets it going, and then he backs off. He backs off on it. He kind of cuts the wheels out from under it. He did that with health care reform. He did that with financial reform. And you look at the jobs bill. He just allowed something to happen. And you know, you can think that maybe, like a lot of his partisans do, that he got snookered again by the Republicans. But there's this deal whereby if the government funds a private project, you know, a project in the private sector, they withhold 3% of the budget so that to make certain that taxes are paid on the thing. And that's been, it was actually the Republicans who put that in sometime back, I'm not sure when. But anyway, that's been got rid of. And because they have to pay and all these things, they're going to cut some Medicaid. So they're going to cut taxes. It was, even though it was something Republicans wanted in a previous administration, they're going to cut taxes and they're going to pay for it by cutting Medicaid. So two things which Wall Street, which the wealthy, which the bankers want, Obama is permitting to happen. You know, some, again, some people might think, well, yeah, you know, they played him again. I tend to think either he gets played on a regular basis every day, every day, every day. Some guy who's a constitutional law professor. Or maybe you might look at it the way I have been looking at it from the get-go. He's just one of them. He's a Wall Street hack. He's bought and paid for, and this is what he wants. This is his policy.
I think you've arrived at the correct conclusion there. He's a corporate hack.
He's
bought and paid for, and it's shameful. It's shameful that he was right across. We've been here before. They
and
shot
the thing is,
kids
you know,
out
he
before.
He couldn't have got in. At that level, you're going to be thoroughly vetted. You know, you weren't going to get a Manchurian candidate in there who was going to come in and make changes in the public interest and, you know, really work to, have Medicare for all, end all the wars, stop the torture, national minimum wage, every good thing you could think of, that was never going to happen. I mean, if he was going to do that, he wouldn't have been allowed near the White House. He would have been, in other words, Cornel West couldn't have run for president. But, you know, people looked at Obama to be Cornel West, and what we got was Mitch McConnell. You know, he's just a politician. That's all he is. He expresses himself very well. And I know it's heartening that, yes, a black man made president, so that's progress in a sense, but it wasn't any progress as far as
say the same thing about the fella as I did about Bush. I don't care if he's black, purple, or yellow, or polka dot. He's a dirty, rotten son of a bitch.
Absolutely.
To be across the bay and to know that an Iraq war vet has been shot in the face, and you know he's hearing these things as they happen. I mean, that's
somebody's
just
putting a spin.
And it's just he's a bought and paid for hack. And when people keep saying that they are, they don't know who else they're going to vote for. Well, you know, first of all, we aren't there yet. We aren't there yet at all. Tomorrow is promised to no one. And especially with the environment, the community, the global community as it is right now. By the way, you know our friend in the Pakistani room, Sabina?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Siddiqui?
Yeah, I like her.
Yeah, I like her very much. Well, she I believe she listens in to the show, and she's been very supportive. And anyways, today, especially about the brutality and covering the subject, this one's for Sabina. I just wanted to add that in here somewhere.
She does some great work in that room, and she's always got a lot to say, and she adds a lot of very heartfelt commentary, particularly about Pakistan.
Well, she lives in the heart of it all, and she was very, a couple of weeks back, she was very suspicious about the Occupy movement, thinking it was some kind of government trick on us, and she's seen how it's grown, And I think it's given her a glimmer of hopefulness. And if it's doing that for somebody in Pakistan, who, let's face it, our country is killing her neighbors by miss and by gosh with those drones, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
If someone like that can stand back and say, you know, maybe there's hope for this global phenomenon, you know, I think that's pretty cool.
Gwen, I got to get back to work.
I got you. Thanks for stopping in, Oso. I appreciate it.
Bye.
And that was Oso Sari, coming to us from Oakland, from California, and giving us his feed on what happened today. As I said, when I opened up last night, Oakland was raided. This show, I'm going to recount some of the information I know about some of the crackdowns that have been going on. Now, I think it's really important to understand that the more pressure and the more brutality is pushed against the Occupy movements, I think the more people are going to come up, stand up and come out and support these movements. I never did actually do the introduction to tell you all that until you wake up, we will fight for you, and that is the motto of Occupy Wall Street. Also, Occupy Wall Street is going to be having a press conference at 5 o'clock today. So this is going to be an hour-long show. We can go for 2 hours, but today we're going to wrap it up within the hour because we want to be around for the press conference with Occupy Wall Street. I want to welcome you to Here Be Monsters, those of you that are listening live and those of you who are going to listen in archive. We are part of a drumline of radio activists that includes Diane G. over at the Wild Wild Left on Blog Talk Radio. She's at 5 o'clock on she's on at 6 o'clock on Friday evenings on Blog Talk Radio. Pinko the Bear, who is always worth staying up a little late into the evening to listen to and have him give you some of his good guidance and his good humor and his intelligence. He has a lot to say, a lot to learn from Pinko. He's on Blog Talk Radio, and he's coming to you from Reno, so it's Pacific time, midnight to 2 a.m. Pacific time. There's also Outlaw Metaphysica, and that is my own personal 30-minute blurb, and I have dedicated it to making two or three shows a week that bridge the spirituality of the Occupy movement and what this means for the greater evolution of consciousness. We've got a global consciousness going here. So that's that. And there is also the Progressive News Network. They are the Progressive News of the Democrat Party. And their national hookup, I believe, but down here it's Rick Spisak and Mickey. I can never think of Mickey's last name, but she's his producer, and they do a wonderful job. They're on Sundays from 7 to 8. So those are the activist shows on air supporting occupations in worldwide cities across the good old world. We'll be here every dang day that there is an Occupy going. We are in solidarity always, always with Occupy Wall Street. And I would like to also say that I am in solidarity with Occupy Palm Beach, which is my group, and Rachel, Christian, Kara, all the folks over there have been doing a wonderful job. We are now occupying full-time right below the fountain on the other side of Bradley's,
at the end of Clematis Street in downtown West Palm Beach. We kind of stood up to the West Palm Beach Police Department, and they did not remove us the other night at 11 p.m. There is some question as to whether or not the group is going to be asked to move to a not very visible place without being harassed at all. We'll see how that goes. Tonight there is, for all of you locals here in the Lake Worth, Palm Beach area, there is a small meeting about the facilitation process, because a lot of folks are not really understanding the consensus format. So we're going to talk about changing it to a different format to accommodate everybody and allow everybody to feel as though they are a part of the group, and that's all important. I heard this too, and I wanted to add this in. They have posted that there is a $10,000 bail for each occupier that gets arrested in Oakland. I'm gonna say right now that I'm thinking that they've rethought that after shooting a vet in the face and putting him in critical condition. Occupy Chicago yesterday, they tore down their medical facilities, got kind of brutal with them, although the Chicago police were trying to be very polite, it looked like, on film. They did, however, arrest over 100 people. And they arrested a lot of the nurses who had volunteered and were there, the nurses' union, and they are back on the job today. Occupy Albany, here's some outstanding news about upstate New York constabulary, that means cops. They refused to obey the directive from Governor Cuomo and the mayor of Albany to go and arrest after a certain hour all the occupiers. So that's a stunning thing. No arrests in Albany because the police force said, no, we're not going to do it. And I should have remembered that when I was speaking with Oso, because he was saying he's looking forward to that. That really is something that we're all looking forward to seeing more of. There was a chemical bomb hurled into the Occupy camp in Maine somewhere, and I'm not sure what the city is. This is part of a drumline of radio shows that are in solidarity with Occupy. Here Be Monsters is on every day. And Dusty Taylor is one of our MCs. She'll come in on Tuesdays. And on Saturdays, we have P.E. Nolan, or Trisha Poole, coming in to take the spot of hosting. And on and off throughout the show, we get either news or people calling in from different groups giving us information. This is about being in solidarity, not looking to become a big radio star here. This is an official boycott of the MSM news media. What we're doing here is trying to provide honest information, and we're grabbing most of it off of the social networks, the Twitter feed, Facebook, all the different boards that are up that we can find, and blogs that we can rely upon to bring us the truth as we can see it. And in that vein, yesterday one of our greatest resources here on Here Be Monsters is Amy Goodman and Democracy Now. And pardon me. Amy had on yesterday one of the winners of the Nobel Peace Prize, the Egyptian woman who actually posted the video, and we're going to hear that video that filled Tahrir Square and began the Egyptian Revolution. This is just a fascinating clip. I spent a lot of time looking and getting it on, so I hope you'll enjoy it and find something of it that brings you inspiration. You should. But here's Amy Goodman with her very special guest.
Presidential hopeful Rick Perry is scheduled to unveil his proposal today to reform the tax code by giving taxpayers an option to pay taxes under the current code or pay a 20% flat tax. Under a flat tax model, poor and middle-income people will pay a larger share of their income than they do at present. Meanwhile, Perry has openly questioned whether President Obama was born in the United States. When asked by Parade magazine whether he believes Obama's birth certificate is real, Perry said, quote, "I don't have any idea." In an interview today on CNBC, Perry was asked why he brought up the birther issue. Perry said, quote, "It's a good issue to keep alive. It's fun to poke at him." And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. A tweet posted just before we went to air said police and riot gear have surrounded Occupy Oakland protest encampment and begun firing flash grenades and rubber bullets into the camp. We're trying to reach someone for further updates. Meanwhile, here in New York, Occupy Wall Street's Liberty Plaza received a surprise visit from several leading Egyptian activists, including 26-year-old Asma Mahfouz. She is one of the founders of the April 6th Youth Movement, which is a group credited with organizing the January 25th protest that eventually toppled President Hosni Mubarak's regime. Democracy Now! Went down to Occupy Wall Street yesterday and spoke to Asma Mahfouz. I want, though, to return first to a video we played in January. It was a recording made by Asma Mahfouz, which was posted to Facebook on January 18th, before the Egyptian uprising, that went viral across Egypt and the world. In her video postings, Asma's head is covered. She speaks directly to the camera, and she identifies herself. Again, this is when Mubarak is in power. The boldness of this act, speaking out so forcefully as a woman, inspired many others to start posting their images online as well. Let's go to that videotape. This is Asma Mahfouz.
Four Egyptians have set themselves on fire to protest humiliation and hunger and poverty and degradation they had to live with for 30 years. Four Egyptians have set themselves on fire thinking maybe we can have a revolution like Tunisia. Maybe we can have freedom, justice, honor, and human dignity. Today, one of these four has died, and I saw people commenting and saying, may God forgive him, he committed a sin and killed himself for nothing. People have some shame. I posted that I, a girl, am going down to Tahrir Square and I will stand alone, and I'll hold up a banner. Perhaps people will show some honor. I even wrote my number so maybe people will come down with me. No one came except three guys and three armored cars of riot police, and tens of hired thugs and officers came to terrorize us. They shoved us roughly away from the people. But as soon as we were alone with them, they started to talk to us. They said, enough, these guys who burned themselves were psychopaths. Of course, on all national media, whoever dies in protest is a psychopath. If they were psychopaths, why did they burn themselves at the parliament building? I'm making this video to give you one simple message. We want to go down to Tahrir Square on January 25th. If we still have honor and want to live in dignity on this land, we have to go down on January 25th. We'll go down and demand our rights, our fundamental human rights. I won't even talk about any political rights. We just want our human rights and nothing else. This entire government is corrupt, a corrupt president and a corrupt security force. These self-immolators were not afraid of death, but were afraid of security forces. Can you imagine that? Are you going to kill yourself too? Or are you completely clueless? I'm going down on January 25th, and from now till then, I'm going to distribute flyers in the streets. I will not set myself on fire. If the security forces want to set me on fire, let them come and do it. If you think yourself a man, come with me on January 25th. Whoever says women shouldn't go to protest because they will get beaten, let him have some honor and manhood and come with me on January 25th. Whoever says it is not worth it, because there will only be a handful of people, I want to tell him, you are the reason behind this, and you are a traitor, just like the president or any security cop who beats us in the street. Your presence with us will make a difference, a big difference. Talk to your neighbors, your colleagues, friends and family, and tell them to come. They don't have to come to Tahrir Square. Just go down anywhere and say it, that we are free human beings. Sitting at home and just following us on news or Facebook leads to our humiliation. Leads to my own humiliation. If you have honor and dignity as a man, come. Come and protect me and other girls in the protest. If you stay at home, then you deserve all that is being done, and you will be guilty before your nation and your people. And you'll be responsible for what happens to us on the streets while you sit at home. Go down to the streets, send SMSs, post it on the net, make people aware. You know your own social circle, you're building your family, your friends. Tell them to come with us. Bring 5 people or 10 people. If each one of us manages to bring 5 or 10 to Tahrir Square and talk to people and tell them this is enough. Instead of setting ourselves on fire, let us do something positive. It will make a difference, a big difference. Never say there's no hope. Hope disappears only when you say there's none. So long as you come down with us, there will be hope. Don't be afraid of the government. Fear none but God. God says he will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. Don't think you can be safe anymore. None of us are. Come down with us and demand your right, my right, your family's right. I am going down on January 25th, and I will say no to corruption, no to this regime.
Again, that video posting by the Egyptian activist Asma Mahfouz. She's 26 years old. She did it on January 18th, 1 week before the start of the Egyptian uprising. On the eve of the protests, Asma posted a follow-up video outlining some of her expectations. The next day, after that recording, hundreds of thousands of Egyptians poured into Cairo's Tahrir Square, Liberation Square, to call for the ouster of President Mubarak and end to the regime. The turnout was unprecedented. Even among the organizers, including the April 6th youth movement, Asma Mahfouz kept posting YouTube videos calling for people to protest January 25th in Tahrir. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak ultimately resigned February 11th. Well, Asma Mahfouz flew into the United States and visited Occupy Wall Street's Liberty Plaza yesterday, where she and other Egyptian activists held a teach-in regarding the Egyptian revolution and the similarities to the Occupy movement and the current steps forward. We spoke with Asma Mahfouz just after she stepped down from the teach-in. I began by asking her why she flew all the way from Cairo, Egypt, to attend Occupy Wall Street.
Many of U.S. residents were in solidarity with us. So we have to keep going all over the world, because another world is possible for all of us. January 25th, you were sending videos before January 25th to say, join me alone in Tahrir. What gave you that strength? Because I saw many people died because they were demanding the rights, and actually all of our rights, but they did. So I decided to go to the streets and demand our rights and our freedom, even if I being alone, and just make a video and say to all the men in our country, if you are a real man, you have to come with me to protect me and protect our country. And I can't believe it when I saw millions of people go and join in the Tahrir Square. And now I believe that I'm not afraid, because I'm more brave, because I saw my colleagues, Egyptians, were going towards the policemen when they just pushing us, and they died for all of us. So they are the ones who are really brave and really strong.
Where did you grow up, and what is the April 6th movement?
I'm from 2008, and 6 April movement were established by 6 of April. 6 of April was the first general strike in Egypt, and it was in solidarity with the co-workers of Mahalla. They were just demanding one thing, to raise our salaries, to get our food. And then we were generalized our this strike all over the country, and we succeeded. So we are trying more and more, and every day or every month we have been creating and organizing events to make the resistance.
Mubarak was fully in power when you put up these videos calling for people to protest his power. You risked your life. Also, you're a woman in a male-dominated society. What gave you the strength to do that? You face great danger.
Yeah, the freedom is very expensive. So you have, you have to sacrifice something. And then when I make this video, everybody in Egypt comes solidarity and protected me. I saw people really died in front of me because they were protect me and protect others. So they were the most bravest men.
Did you have any thought that what happened in Tahrir would happen?
I was believe that the change is coming. I was really believe in this. And we were calling, but I don't believe that it will come very fast. I couldn't realize when I saw on 25th, on 2 o'clock p.m., millions of people just raise up the Egyptian flag and just say one chant. It's food, dignity, humanity, equality.
What do you say to the U.S. government today, to President Obama, who spoke in Cairo?
You promised the people that you are the change, and yes, we can. So we are here from the Wall Street, Occupy, and we are saying the same words. Yes, we can. We can make the freedom, and we can get our freedom, even if from you.
What about the U.S.'s support for the Mubarak regime, the money that was sent, the weapons that were sent?
The U.S. were sending every day for Mubarak regime and now the cap, while they are giving money and power and support to Mubarak regime. Our people, Egyptian people, can success against all of this, against the U.S. power. So the power to the people, not for the U.S., police or bombs or money or anything, the power to the people. So that I am here to be in solidarity and support the Wall Street Occupy protesters, to say to them, the power to the people and to keep it on, and they will success in the end.
How old are you?
26.
Are you a university student?
No, I graduated business administration.
And what do you do now?
I just left my job to come on to the revolution and to continue.
And what do you think needs to happen in Egypt right now?
To get out the caste away and to get very democratic elections and to build a strong organization to build our new country.
And that was Asma Mahfouz, the woman that we all saw on the video just prior to Tahrir Square filling and Mubarak being deposed by peaceful movement. Folks, we've got to wake up. This is our moment, as the Maya would tell you. Our friend Sabina over in Pakistan, she's hopeful that we can make a difference, that we can bring a halt to the horrendous cost of the military-industrial complex and its spoilage. It's absolute war profiteering and warmongery in our world has taken such toll. Gaddafi, Mubarak, and men like him, they were placed in power for the last 100 years by American administrations. And notably in my lifetime, the most damage has been done.
You and I were born into a damaged, distraught world of sanctioned atrocities and corporate greed walking hand in hand as the leadership of the United States. And there is more and more, there is more than one way to say, and I am quoting Dr. Woody here, mission accomplished with your head up your ass. Consider the Obama method. What mission has he accomplished other than turning the economy entirely over to the banksters and the financial fraudsters? We've still got 4 or 5, 6 or 7, depending on how you count them, wars that are draining the treasury. We've still got unofficially 15 to 20% unemployment. I would say we have more like 25% unemployment. We've still got 50 million people and 20 million kids in poverty. We've got Goldman Sachs running the treasury and the Fed. We've still got millions who cannot get medical insurance, and the SOB in the White House just sold us out with Medicaid as part of the cost of doing business once again as he grabbed his ankles and allowed the Republicans to do as they wished. I mean, that's the truth. We've got no green energy policy. This is the worst presidential term for the environment in the last 50 years, the worst presidential term. Look what he did to the Gulf of Mexico. He allowed, he didn't do it, he allowed a bad situation to become unimaginably bad, and people are dying in the Gulf of Mexico along the coast states right now. And he's paying no attention to it whatsoever, and blithely along, BP runs commercials lying and saying they've taken care of the whole thing. We've still got more and more GMOs that are entering the food supply, and we've still got, and thanks to this president, an enlarged Patriot Act. We've still got, okay, I'm quoting Dr. Woody here, cunt hair Clancy on the Supreme Court. We've still got an out-of-control medical system that is not efficient, doesn't work, and allows for so much fraud that it's the scapegoat and the band-aid for charging more from the pharma companies and the insurance companies. We've still got no national industrial policy except outsourcing and offshoring. That's what we've got. That's what we've got. There's nothing here that is good to say about what's been going on with the election politics. We've got buffoons on one side on the right, and in the middle, leaning towards the right, we have a president who is just a corporate hack. I do have a piece here that was written by Allison Kilkenny, and basically it's I'm not going to read it because I think I already did. I lost my place to a certain degree there, but the Occupy movement is moving across the globe. Not just across the land. Once again, I would ask everybody who I know a lot of people don't even align or affiliate themselves, especially critical thinkers, with a God form. But I would say this: most of us have a place within ourselves that we. The resonance or the repository of goodness is alive there. And I would ask you from that source of goodness within yourself to think today about the 24-year-old Iraqi vet in an Oakland hospital and send him good energy,
so that he heals up. I would like to remind my local friends that Occupy Palm Beach, Occupy Lake Worth, Occupy Palm Beach is going on right now as we speak. We are in occupation, and that would be at the base of the, it's at the end of the waterside end of Clematis Street, downtown in West Palm Beach, behind the fountain to the backside of Bradley's in the grass there, looking out at the Intercoastal. That's where they are occupying. And tonight there is a short meeting that will be talking about discussing the process by which choices are being made, demands are being arrived at, and the overall structure of Occupy Palm Beach is going to be discussed. If you would, if you have a moment, pick up a pencil. I'm going to give you the phone number of the West Palm Beach Police Department. It's 561-822-1900. Hopefully you'll keep that handy just in case we need your help to have you call in and insist that they quit picking on us. So far, so good. However, Mayor Jerry Munio is suggesting at this point that Occupy Palm Beach find itself a new place that they won't bother us at, and that will be discussed at the meeting this evening. So if you're interested, you really should go down. I know I'm going to try to get there. I'm going to remind you that in another 7 minutes, Occupy Wall Street is going to be having a press conference, which I don't know if it's going to be televised, but, you know, I've got to think it's going to be. I'm going to check out Democracy Now and Current Television and then go over to MSNBC or whatever, because I got a feeling if they have something to say that even the mainstream media is going to want to be there and not miss out on it. So, with that said, I want to thank you all, and I want to thank Oso for joining me at the top of the show and giving us a really fine report on how it actually is out at Occupy Oakland. I'm sending the very best energy to Occupy Oakland, those brave people out there who had to deal with the police brutality that they had to deal with last night, and sending a healing wishes, healing light, all of it to the young man in the hospital, the Iraqi vet who got hit in the face with a rubber bullet, who's in critical condition. Rubber bullets, folks, are very dangerous. They are bullets. And they've killed enough Palestinian children that we should know better. But apparently we do not. I'd like to remind everybody, too, before I conclude this show, that as that was going on, or just before that went on, the president was across the bay raising money to tell pretty lies to get himself reelected. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. This, of course, has been Here Be Monsters. We're here every day. There is a 5 o'clock upcoming Occupy Wall Street conference, press conference, that I'm going to be looking for. So this is an hour show today. And we will be on tomorrow. Got somebody lined up who's coming over to speak with us. As I said, we're part of a drumline Oh, hey. I want to, as I always do, I want to thank everybody in the chat room for being here. Flyover territory just walked in. And Flyover, I'm really sorry. There is a, I'm getting ready to shut down because there's an Occupy Wall Street press conference coming up at 5 o'clock. So everybody get on over to whatever media source you can. If you're on the computer, I'm sure you can find it there somewhere. I'm not sure where. I would try Democracy Now. We will be back tomorrow. This is Here Be Monsters, and we are sponsored by a great group of writers over at Roundtree7, and that's the number 7.com. That's about it. Thank you for being here. Appreciate your companionship. And find your Occupy group if you haven't found it yet, or start one. And get out there when you can. And Occupy.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me. So don't